Welcome back to Drinks First. I am joined today with a guest of mine who I was really nervous about interviewing. Very honestly, today I'm joined by my ex-boyfriend's best friend.
Hello.
Welcome. And the reason why, well, we had talked about it before, like when I was in a relationship, but in the midst of my breakup, it was one of my ex-boyfriend's parting wishes that you still come on the podcast.
Yeah, and one of his last rites.
One of his last requests. And so, you know, to respect his requests and, you know, the what we had discussed, because I think you would be and are like a great person anyway for this podcast, like, happy to have you on.
So. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me on. I am excited. I've always,
Have you ever been on a podcast before?
When I was in high school, me and one of my close friends recorded two episodes of a podcast, just us, and that never saw the light of day. So, and then I also think I did something in college, which I don't even think I should talk about because it was horribly embarrassing, frankly.
Well, honestly, I might look back on this in like 10 years and be like, what the fuck was I thinking?
I don't think so, honestly. I don't think this is something to be embarrassed about. I think it's good.
Let's hope not. But, well, I start every episode off with asking how old you are, where you're from, you know, where in New York City you live now, what you do. So if you could give some background on who you are, that'd be great.
I was about to say my name. I'm 26 years old. I grew up in Westchester, New York. I live in Bedford-Stuyvesant. I live in Bed-Stuy. I went to school in Oberlin, Ohio. Maybe that's specific enough information for someone to know who I am, but if they know me, then they know me. Yeah, I do a lot of writing and comedy performance. I work in film. I work on sets and stuff. Yeah, that's the lowdown.
So what brought you to New York?
What brought me to New York was needing to go somewhere, frankly. I graduated college into the pandemic, and I like lived in Boston for a little bit and was gardening during quarantine and writing and stuff. And I like couldn't work on any of the stuff that I wanted to work on. Like there was no film work happening at all for a fella like me. Then I went back to Westchester for a little bit. And then I knew other people who were finally going to move to New York. And I wanted to be around young people with life and creativity. And I shipped on over here, and it's been 2 years, so not that long.
Not long enough, honestly. 2 years is a decent amount of time.
Yeah.
And I usually ask, like, where are places that you like to go out and where are places you like to eat?
Interesting. Well, what do you mean go out?
Well, it could be like whatever going out is to you, if that's like going clubbing or going to a bar or, you know, where you might meet your friends, like in the evening.
In the evening time.
Yeah.
I have to go out a lot for performances and like comedy because I do like a lot of shows and stuff, and a lot of socializing and networking is literally just you go to a show and then afterwards you go to a bar and you like chat and you drink. And so honestly, I, unless it's like a special thing where like, oh, all my friends are going to get together and we're going to go to like a bar and play cards in a booth at like Coyote Club. That's an example of a place I like to go out, I guess. Then I would kind of rather not, frankly, which is hard because, well, actually your ex-boyfriend, who's my best friend, is someone who loves to go out. And I continually let him down weekend after weekend by him being like, oh, check out all of these events that I want to go to. And then I am like, wow, that sounds really fun. Like, I think I'm just going to like stay home tonight now. Like, I'm like planning on getting in bed by like 11:30, you know?
Yeah, you're an early bird. Like you like, I feel like you're kind of a homebody.
I can be.
You know, you're interesting, actually, because you are doing a lot of things all the time. I feel like you're constantly posting about your like comedy shows and things like that, like, you're really on top of that. And that's, like, an outgoing thing to do, you mm-hmm. know, especially comedy. Like, you have to put yourself out there. You're, like, performing in front of people.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, that's why you, on your off time, like, want to be at home or just chill.
I think so. I think I don't want to have to give that energy too much. Outside, like, going clubbing and going dancing to me, like, I love to dance. Like, I did dance in school too, so mm-hmm. different kind of dance, but...
You want to expand on that?
Yeah. That was a vague statement. So I love, like, clubbing and just, like, dancing and doing whatever the fuck. Can I curse?
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever the fuck people do on the dance floor. But I also did, like, contemporary dance at school and, like, studied that a little bit and just moving around, you know?
Yeah. What was the kind of improv that...
Contact improv. Separate from comedy improv. It is... I've been on dates and it's come up both that I do perform comedy improv and that I'd like to do contact improv. And people have gone a long time knowing me thinking that contact improv was like, I'm doing this weird thing where I'm like dancing and telling jokes and like, I'm like trying to make you laugh by dancing or something, which is...
Not what that is. You want to explain what it is?
Yeah, it's like, it's a contemporary dance form that's like very like, it can be very flowy or like acrobatic, and it's like a somatic study too. So it's all about like bodies and movement, and like sometimes it's a little much for me. Like the types of people who do it range a good deal, but I think a lot of them are older hippies, honestly. And I think that's fun at times. But then sometimes I'm like, we don't connect on that much other than this thing we're doing right now.
Yeah, that's valid. But yeah, you're like somebody who has a lot of, I think, hobbies and interests, and you're like active about doing those things, but you're not really like, I need to like go to a bar, or go to a club like every weekend.
No, I don't get much from that, frankly. Yeah. I find it, and like, why am I there is kind of my question, is like, am I there to talk? Like, I can't really hear people. So I'm like not here for conversation. Am I here? I don't necessarily love, I think it can be fun to drink and go out, but I don't like love to drink. Maybe the music is good and I'm going to have a really good time dancing, and that happens. And I also like an event. Like, I like having something to do with my friends where we go and do something fun. But also I would have so much more fun with my friends if I could hear them, you know?
I'm just an old man.
I guess I'm like, I'm 70.
Literally. I feel like your friends are also similar to you. So like, maybe with the exception of like my ex, like I know that he likes to go out a lot.
Yeah.
Because he enjoys music and he enjoys clubs and dancing. But like, I feel like your friend group generally is like, we would rather kind of chill someplace at like someone's house or something like that.
I think that's generally true. Although he finds a way to like meet people and be social out. So maybe it's possible and I just don't know how to do it.
I mean, honestly, I like admire him for that. Like, he's good at doing things on his own. I'm not somebody who's like that. Like, I'm good at meeting people, but I don't choose to do things alone. Like, if I'm going to an event or something, like, I'm going to want to go with someone. Like, yeah.
Do you feel that way with most of your own events?
Well, most – my, like, own events, I feel like, one, are my job. So I'm working during it. And then I always usually have at least one person, like, one friend of mine who's showing up.
Mm.
I don't know in any, like, any point that I haven't had, like, a single person I don't know there. So I always have, like, some level of support, whether it's, like, my family or my friends or, at the time, like, my partner. So,
yeah,
it's a different kind of, like, when I have my own events, it's not necessarily viewed to me as, like, my social, like, gathering for that time, because again, it's work. Like, oftentimes I'm like making sure the DJs are good, making
you're
sure
in
that's
host mode.
Secure. Yeah, I'm in host mode. So it's like, it doesn't fill the same cup as like hanging out with my friends or like, going out with them.
Are you like me? Because what you do demands a lot of social energy.
So am like, I like you? Interesting. No, I don't think I'm like
you. Okay.
I don't think I'm like you at all. Because prior to me doing all of these
could not be more different than you. Like,
yeah, like we're very, very different. Like, I feel like prior to me like throwing any events ever, like I was chronically outside. Like,
okay.
I love going out. I love like dancing, going to clubs, like more like my ex. Like that's where I got a lot of enjoyment, going to parties, like meeting people. So
would you 7 years ago love going to Drinks First events?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool.
I definitely would have. And I think I enjoy going to them now too. Like I only want to put on events that I would actually want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe hopefully that's like why it's been like successful, because other people resonate with that. Like I'm very picky about what DJs I want to play at my events, what venues I decide to throw things at. Cause like, I don't want to just do something somewhere that I'm like, ugh, like I'm dreading going to this because it sounds lame. Like, I wouldn't want to do that. So, yeah.
And where can someone find a Drinks First event near them?
Am I being interviewed right now? You can find a Drinks First event at drinks.first on Instagram.
Ooh.
But I feel like you have enjoyed a Drinks First event every now and then.
I have. They're fun.
They are fun, in my opinion. I know that you've had to, like, it might not be the top of your list of things to do, but
I think that is, they have been, for me at least, experiences that have felt special, because also this leads to something that's kind of funny, but I got to go to one of your events and I got to cut the line once, and and that was like awesome to me. Like there was literally like the felt rope barrier, like blocking people off, and like there were a bunch of bouncers there like picking people out of the crowd. And then I get to like wade to the front and be like, I know Ariana, like everyone knows me.
Everybody knows
me. Like I'm on the list, and they're like, come on in. And that was sick.
I mean, yeah, if you want to come to an event again and that's okay. The case, like I can make sure that happens again.
I might have to take you up on it just for that.
That moment made your Drinks First event experience.
Not really. I mean, the rest of the event was also incredibly fun. Like, I enjoyed dancing at them. There was the one night that was it on Diwali?
Maybe, yeah. You guys came last year on Diwali, yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. I like danced. That was like maybe one of the latest nights I've stayed up, because I like stayed up till towards the end of the event. And
yeah. Haven't you like had some success at Drinks First events before?
Are you asking if I've kissed anybody?
I'm asking if you've had success. You can define that however success. You want to define that.
I define success as falling asleep with a smile on my face. No.
All right.
I have. That was fun. That was like the last dance floor kiss I've had since like forever.
That was like over a year ago.
Wow.
Yeah, like easily over a year ago.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I have. That was fun. I like met somebody dancing, which is not something I really ever have. I feel like some people do that all the time, where you'll meet mm-hmm. someone on the dance floor, you'll see each other on the dance floor, and then you'll dance a little bit, and then you'll like talk, and then you'll like kiss make and out. Then dance. Yeah. And that has never been a part of my life. You know, I was at bar mitzvahs. I was like on the wall, like watching my like brave friends, like try and like, I never stepped into the grind line.
The grind line. You never stepped into the grind line. Yeah. That's where it all started. The bar mitzvah grind line.
Like, that was like a type of socialization I rejected because I was afraid.
But that makes sense, because you don't like to go out. So like, obviously you're not going to have that many experiences where you're like diff mowing, which is mm-hmm. like dance floor make out.
I'm not that sheltered. I know what a diff mow is.
But you are a chronic dater.
Whoa.
Okay. Allegedly. I'm allegedly saying that. Well,
you're making accusation. I will defend myself.
Yeah. What's your response?
My response is, what the heck? I'm not a chronic dater, but the past 7 months, I've seen more people than I have seen in my entire life, like many times over. And it's been like an experience of a lot of like opening up and learning and like trying to investigate things that I think I previously was maybe like a little too nervous or like overly cautious about, and just trying to not catch up, but catch up a little bit on firsthand experience of what I want and what I really don't want and how I act in these situations. It's been really interesting.
Yeah. So like, what has motivated you in the past set? Like, what changed? Why did you start doing what you're doing, and what are you doing
yeah.
in the past 7 months?
So It's interesting because right now, like in these past 2 weeks, I've kind of decided that I'm exiting this phase.
Okay.
A little bit. So I guess you're catching me at an interesting time.
Mm.
I guess what I did was I moved here and I started going on apps and trying to meet people, looking for something that was unclear and slightly undefined, because maybe I want to be in love, or maybe I just like want to hook up or something. And I think it's interesting to notice what those feelings are when you are alone and just living your life, and what those feelings are when the reality of other people come into the picture, because I think it's easy to fantasize and yearn, but it's not as practical a set of emotions all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what it was I just started dating a lot. I started like going on a lot of dates, and for a really long time it was horrible and not fun and like so demoralizing and debilitating. And I would put a lot of energy into like talking to people, and then I'd like, mm-hmm. I would go on these dates that would last like, genuinely, I went on one date that lasted 8 hours and we went out for drinks, and this person didn't ask like a single question, but somehow it like kept, I was like, there's no way you're having a good time on this date. I was like giving so much energy and asking so many questions and being so engaged. And I had this weird, like somewhat dissociative moment where we were sitting, we're getting drinks, and across the room, there was this birthday party. It was like someone's 27th birthday party. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, I'd like hear them erupt in laughter and joy. And I had this weird moment of just wishing I were there. And then I went... I went to the bathroom. I excused myself to the bathroom about like 3.5 hours into this date.
You were at drinks for 3.5 hours?
This was an 8-hour date. We like, met up at 7.
Only at drinks? Like, did you do other things?
No, we got drinks one place, and then we got food. Okay. And then we got drinks somewhere else. And you're probably wondering, why didn't you leave? And I kind of tried to, but that is a skill I had to learn, which was to be able to just be like, I am leaving.
Wait, how did you meet this person? And like, why do you think the date went on for so long?
We met on Hinge. Mm-hmm. I think the date went on for so long because I eventually did start dropping hints that I was like, oh, I was tired. I had to do something early the next day,
mm-hmm.
maybe wrapping it up. But those never were picked up. And then she would initiate maybe doing another activity,
mm.
or like going to another spot. And there was, okay, I don't remember the specifics. This was well over a year ago, but there was something wrong with the trains. So it felt like it was like an imposition to almost end the date because she would have to like take a bus to a train or something.
I've been there. I mean, yeah. My first date with my ex, I also felt like I was putting in a lot of energy and really? I didn't, you don't know this?
No.
I thought I've spoken. I mean, like I would say it in front of him too. Like we've talked about it. I didn't think he liked me at all.
Like, I've heard that.
Yeah. Like and sometimes, you know, I'm good at talking, and sometimes I'm in my head and I'm like, is this a good date, or am I just good at talking? And like, am I just like good at listening mm-hmm. to myself? Mm. And then we split the bill, which.
Yeah.
Does
that register for you as a lack of interest?
I think it was that. On top of everything else.
Okay.
Because I will always offer to split the bill on a first date unless I'm like going on a date with somebody who's maybe like significantly older or something mm-hmm. that like I'm just like, okay, maybe I would expect for you to pay for this.
Mm-hmm.
But I will like always offer to pay, especially if I know the guy I'm like going on a date with might not have the same like spending power as I do.
Mm-hmm.
I can pay for my own shit. I don't have a yeah. problem doing that. And I always mean it. So when he said, okay, sure, like, mm-hmm. it was like that along with like not having any like anything else that I was getting from him. And then
yeah.
after that, after we like left the bar, he was like, oh, do you want to keep hanging out? And I was like, what? He was like, do you want to like get another drink somewhere else? And yeah. we were like in a random area. We ended up like going to Bodega and like picking up tall boys or something. And like we ended up hanging out like the whole night. And it was
Did you
that,
guys
like,
kiss that night?
We kissed that night. We kissed on our first date, but it was a few hours into the date. And again, like not much contact was like being made, and so I just like wasn't sure, but the fact that he like asked to continue the date made me, you know, be like, okay, he's into it. And mm-hmm. we did kiss, and I really hope my mom's not listening to this, but I like it was a similar situation where like it was one his birthday
like, oh my god
Yeah. It was the day we went on a date totally the day forgot. Before his birthday. So now it's like after midnight. So yeah. It's like officially his birthday.
Yeah.
And it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I live in Manhattan and he lives deeper in Brooklyn. And it was like a school night.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't want to be like, take your ass home. Like, go, like, I felt like that would have been rude for me to be like, you have, because we were at my apartment. I was like, do you want to sleep here? And I had also just moved into my apartment the day before. I had a mattress on my floor. That's all I had.
Awesome.
And so it was like one of those situations where I was like, because of the situation, I feel weird, like inconveniencing you. But I, you know, I was having a nice time also. So he did sleep over on mm-hmm. our first date, but nothing happened. So
yeah,
mom, it was just like out of necessity, honestly. Yeah.
You slept under the covers. He slept on top of the covers. Like,
yeah, we were actually back-to-back. Head to feet, like
back to back. He was on top of the covers.
Yeah, there was no contact made whatsoever.
He was in his jeans and shoes.
He was still wearing his shoes. But yeah, I like obviously I had a good time, and then we like I got to know him more over a few dates, and that's why I always like say to people. Now, which it's like, I always think you should give somebody a second chance, like on a date, if you're just unsure about it, if you're like teetering and nothing bad has happened on it, like you don't get the initial, like if you're like, oh, I'm just not sure, then you should always go on another date.
Yeah.
So that's my opinion. Some people are like, no, you absolutely shouldn't waste your time if you don't have a spark with someone off the bat. I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't know if I agree either. I've been on a lot of dates where I haven't enjoyed it. And I think I can confidently say I'm glad I didn't go on second dates. I also think I sometimes have a bad habit of agreeing to a second date, or I used to have a bad habit. I don't think I do this at all anymore, but I used to go on second dates with mm-hmm. people
that you knew you didn't
I knew
like...
I wasn't interested in them.
Okay, that's different.
Yeah.
You on your dates, like you've been going on a lot. You said it's only in the past 7 months, but you said that like when you moved to New York, you felt like you had to date more. So like, what were you doing between like the last 7 months and you moving to New York? Like that's like a year and a half.
Yeah. So I guess during that time, I was still less, I guess, with less of a concerted effort and intention trying to date.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I first moved here, I didn't have any friends. None of my friends had moved here. I was here mostly alone.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. For 2 months before really anybody... month and a half before anybody else moved here. And then it was like one person, and then eventually more people showed up. But
mm-hmm.
So I had to just make friends on my own. And part of that I figured I could do through dating apps, which actually didn't work out as well as I had expected or hoped. But so at first I was going on some dates that way that were okay. And then for a long time I would go through waves of trying to go on dates and going on dates that were not good. And then losing the will to continue and stopping.
Okay.
And then, yeah.
I have a question. So how are you like choosing who you want to go on a date with? Like, I'm guessing you're meeting these people through apps. Like, what apps and like, what are you looking for to like, what's the minimal viable like person that you would say yes to going on a date with?
Full transparency into whatever part of my brain is active when I'm swiping on an app.
Mm-hmm.
Initially I was just on, I guess I use all of them, but not actively, but I was on Hinge. I was a little bit on Tinder. I kind of hate Tinder. It's never, I don't think I've gone on a single date from Tinder. I started going on Fields, but that was more part of honestly when I started 7 months ago
mm-hmm.
and Hinge. And Hinge I think has been the most common.
No Bumble?
One. Oh, Bumble too.
Okay.
A little Bumble here and there.
Where do you think you've had the most success?
Definitely Hinge.
Okay.
I think it, I don't know the numbers game of a dating app, but mm-hmm. I think it's easier to not fall into obscurity in the sea of white men with long hair yeah. on Hinge when I can say something.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy the amount of, I recently was trying to fathom the amount of my life, I tried to put into a percent the amount of my life I've spent trying to think of a witty first line on Hinge. Like scouring someone's profile for something small to notice and be yeah. like, here's this.
Is that how you usually start conversation with someone?
It can be. Or sometimes I'll find myself with inhibitions lowered and I'll just send a message more freely.
Yeah.
And frankly, like, oftentimes that will just work out better. I have no idea. I don't know if I can come up with an example of a Hinge opener for you.
So, okay, you're using Hinge. Like, what kind of people are you going on dates with? Because it kind of sounds like to me when you first got here, you're like, I'll just meet like anyone, really.
A little bit. But I also definitely try and keep an open mind about whoever it is I'll go on a date with. Like, I think I've really gone on dates with the gambit of people that are in their 20s in New York at mm-hmm. the moment, from like all different sections of New York. Like, I've gone on a date that was right by the ferry to Staten Island because it was someone from Staten Island, you know?
That's open-minded.
It was very open-minded to date someone from Staten Island. And I think they were from Staten Island and they were just like still living there.
Yeah.
It wasn't a very good date, but... I don't know. I don't know what I would... I'm sure maybe somebody could go through all the people I've gone on dates with and be like, oh, here is your type. But mm-hmm. I am not that person.
You don't feel like you have a type.
No, I honestly don't.
Like, there's nothing about somebody physically or emotionally that, like, draws you to them.
I mean, I think funny people. I like funny people. Mm-hmm. I like people who are engaged, passionate people and people who are funny and can just banter and chat.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that makes it so much easier to connect and have other real conversations if you have this kind of foundation method of communication. I do not know how people who don't laugh a lot talk to each other genuinely. I literally cannot imagine a full conversation between people like that.
Yeah. So do you feel like every person you go out with, like, do you talk to people a lot before you agree to go out on a date? Or are you somebody who just likes to, like, go on a date as quickly as possible?
I've done both. I mm-hmm. definitely prefer to meet someone a little quicker
mm-hmm.
because I don't want to be messaging and texting someone forever and then realize I don't like them the moment I encounter them in real life.
Yeah. You don't really have a type. You're like me. How many dates do you think you kind of have been on in the past year?
Oh, God. I feel like I'm outing myself for something bad, but this isn't a bad thing. And I have to remind myself that. The past year? Are you talking about first dates?
Sure. Let's do first dates.
Just first dates?
Okay. What about first dates and then not first dates?
Okay. In the past 7 months, I would say I've probably gone on... There have been weeks in a month where I have gone on a different date all 5 days of the week.
Oh,
that has only happened once. That has only been 1 week out of the past few months.
You went on 5 dates?
And it was not fun.
A week.
it was a bad idea.
Wait, so are you paying on all of these dates?
Well, it depends on the date.
Okay, tell me more.
It's not always drinks first.
Right.
Like I also have gone on dates that are like, oh, we meet in Prospect Park and we like hang out and we walk around or we'll sit on a blanket or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that will involve buying something as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there have been, that's part of why I'm also stopping this dating spree, is it is expensive and there's so much I would rather spend money on.
It's financially and emotionally taxing. How do you even get like 5 people to like...
to agree to hang out with me?
To like go on a date with you in the span of like 1 week. Like, what are you doing that you're getting so many people and going on a date with you?
I don't know. I think it was because, like, I rescheduled some things and I was just trying to schedule nights. And it's crazy because I'm also performing a lot. And frankly, as we established earlier, I would oftentimes just rather stay at home.
Yeah.
So the fact that I found 1 week where I didn't necessarily have a show, didn't have other plans. I'm sure I overrided some other plan with friends to go on at least one of those dates.
You do that. You're like somebody who will be like, I will go on this date instead of going to hang out with my friends, which...
If I've scheduled the date, I feel like it's disrespectful to that person to cancel it.
But you're also somebody who schedules a date on like a Friday and a Saturday night.
Yeah.
I'm of the opinion that like you shouldn't like fake being busy. But if a guy is like, let's go out on a first date on like a Friday or Saturday night, I'm going to be like, you don't have anything better to do on like a Friday or Saturday night. Like, don't you have like friends you want to see or like people you want to meet? Like those, yeah. My weekend nights, I feel like are saved for that. I'm like, I would be more open to going on a date on like a Tuesday night, you know, lower yeah. stakes.
I guess I feel on a weeknight, school nights, that I value that kind of time to myself or my friends more, mm-hmm. which often isn't as big events. It's not as – I'm not going and doing bigger things those nights necessarily, but I don't know. What is a weekend for if not something kind of like fun and flirty, like going to a bar and like having a drink with someone?
Okay. So you did answer my question about how many dates you've been on.
Yeah, I don't think I can. Okay. Because I don't know.
Do you have an estimate?
There were definitely even times during this dating period where I went a period without, or I'd go weeks without dates.
Of course. Also, like, why 7 months? Like, what happened 7 months ago that, like, changed everything?
It was getting warmer. There were the chemicals in the air changed. And right. I was like, I need to be free. I'm going to guess 40.
Wow.
Is that...
That's a lot.
I genuinely don't know.
Yeah, I mean...
It could be way less, and it could be way more.
That's like, you know, that's almost once a week that you're meeting a lot of people.
Yeah.
What's like the worst date you've been on out of all of those in the past year?
I mean, there are those existentially demoralizing dates, like the one I started describing earlier, where I wished I was at a birthday party of Europeans.
That sounds fun, honestly.
It was. I was actually in the middle of saying earlier that I then went to the bathroom and the sister of the person whose birthday it was and I started talking online for the bathroom, and immediately the conversation was 1,000 times better than anything I found in these 8 hours with this other person. 8 hours is work. That was a job. I had dated work. Like it was my job.
That's so much work. Did you ever get like?
Did I get paid? No.
No, I was gonna ask if you got the sister's like number or something.
No, I didn't.
That'd but be kind of savage.
Like, you think that would be what?
Kind of savage, like going on a date and getting another girl's number.
That would be crazy. That'd be bizarre. I have not done that.
You're not toxic like that.
I'm not toxic like that.
But maybe. In other ways, maybe.
Maybe. Not that I know. Do I know? I don't have to go into that.
Well, that's like exactly what I want to go into.
Okay. What am I? There's four questions floating in the air right now.
I know. There's so many. I haven't gotten a single straight answer.
You haven't gotten a single straight answer. I may be giving too many conditional disclaimers at the beginning of each of them that lead to another question.
Was that 8-hour date the worst date you've been on in the past year?
It's up there. There have been dates where the person has just kind of made me feel bad about myself and like they're kind of just mean. But those I can leave and then I text my friends about them and then it becomes something to laugh about.
Yeah. Like in what way?
Like there have been dates where I talk about myself and my life and what I'm interested in and they respond with like literally just even expressions that have been so cutting and then they stay on the date for a while. But those are dates that I don't understand where they're like, this person thinks I am small and laughable, but I am
like, staying what sort of things could somebody say that makes you feel that way?
Like talking about comedy stuff. And mm-hmm. I've talked about like why I like doing it and how joyful I find it and how fun it is to connect with people and like how lucky I feel to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Like to be able to perform and have people come watch me perform. And that feels like a privilege a lot of the time that like
yeah.
people will spend their time watching me do something. So I want to be good at it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I've talked about like how joyful and childlike it can feel and how I think that's important and beautiful. And people have just given me those dead-eyed stares and been like, so like you just make stuff up and like not understanding even what it is or just I don't know. I don't think I could replicate the intensity and tone of judgment sometimes yeah. you just hear. And I think that's just people. And I don't those don't stick with me as much as those the 8-hour date, which is just draining and horrible.
Yeah. Okay. What about like the best dates that you've been on in the past like year or so?
So I've had some that have been very exciting and I've met really cool people that I've really got along with. And like, sometimes I've seen people and it's like lasted for a while and then they're just, things have come up. So they've stopped, for better or for worse, sometimes in weird, complicated ways. And sometimes amicably, more often amicably. But I've had some weird dates. I once went on a date with someone from Fields and they just wanted to be held still. So we like sat in a park for a while. Wait. And then
that was the intention, like going in, or
that came up.
Okay, sorry, continue.
And we like went in the park and we talked for a while, and then we like really got along and had a lot in common. And then it was one of those weird things. This isn't a weird thing. There was like a lot of chemistry in us talking, and there was like physical chemistry too. And this person was also a dancer. Mm. Then we like found ourselves like kind of lying next to each other on our like blanket in the park. Then I held her still for a while.
What does that mean? Like holding you still?
She didn't really know what it meant to her, but she was like, I want that.
Like she just wanted to be held.
Not even just to be held. The things she likened it to were being in an MRI or being in some situation where it is imperative that she remain
absolutely still.
Quiet. Yeah.
And you hold her while
I held her,
like,
and then she was kind of, we were kind of like
side body, like
a little. She was like, we're kind of like lightly cuddling, you know?
Okay.
And that involves a little movement from multiple people.
Right.
And then I was like, hold still. And then she held still. And then we kind of just lay there for a while.
But like your like hands are like around her in some regard.
Yeah.
You're not like still next to each other.
No.
Sorry. I don't want to yuck anyone's yum. That's like the least, that's like the, it's so harmless, you know? Like,
it's so harmless, but it is peculiar. It is peculiar. There's no denying.
So you've clearly had some like interesting experiences. I feel like we haven't even touched on the like 7 months of what
rest and relaxation.
Yeah. Maybe quite the opposite. Like
maybe a little bit the opposite.
What have you been up to in the past 7 months?
I've been experimenting to figure out what I was interested in from somebody else and what I would want from somebody else. Mm-hmm. I haven't really been in a super significant long-term relationship ever in my life. I very much have always been very for myself in a lot of ways, which I guess ties into why I would oftentimes rather just spend time home alone or whatever with not very many, but just closer friends. And a lot of that has come from me being a little more cautious and feeling as though, oh, maybe I'm not in the perfect place to be in a relationship, so I can't fully be like emotionally accountable to this person. And maybe I'd need to wait until things are more stable in my life before I enter some kind of more emotionally entangled relationship. Mm-hmm. But I think oftentimes that actually just comes from a place of being unsure for myself and feeling in ways afraid of everything that comes with that, and because it's easier and more comfortable to just be on your own a lot of the times.
Yeah.
I know some people find it to be the opposite.
Yeah.
But I was just trying to put myself out there more and connect with different people and realize what worked and what didn't work and what I was drawn to and attracted to and what was actually maybe I thought I was attracted to, and it turns out is more of something that doesn't exist.
What have you learned? Like, do you feel like all of this dating and whatever experiences you've had that you've gleaned more information about yourself that you were like looking for?
Yeah. I think on one level, sexually, for example, I was more reserved and shy and like hadn't hooked up with that many people before this. And now I feel much more comfortable, and I've always been a very physical person. Like, I do dance and I like to move around, and I think I'm a physically affectionate person.
Mm-hmm.
Part of why I went on that, why I held someone still, is I went into a phase of being open to seeing what people are into.
Yeah.
And then to figure out what I'm into. Like, how do I know if I haven't tried it? If it doesn't sound horrible to me, maybe it's one of those things for me that I'll love.
Definitely. What other things did you try?
Things have definitely gotten a little kinkier over the past year.
Okay.
Which has been fun. I mean, through Field, I've met a lot of people, and that is mostly like a poly NM more kink-based community of people. So it's a little self-selecting in that way. And I found that exciting. And there's a lot of weird people. I found the men on there. I sometimes kiss boys. Everyone I've talked about so far has not been a boy.
Right. Do you consider yourself, like, bi?
I do, but I find, especially in this past 7 months in my year of rest and relaxation, that has been a more confusing journey to start doing. And I think it's going to have its own year of rest and relaxation to get to the bottom of.
Yeah. I mean, I also think, like, obviously, like, all sexuality, bisexuality is a spectrum.
Yeah.
And I have friends, I know people who identify as bi and are maybe romantically more hetero, like they can only imagine themselves in a relationship with somebody of the opposite sex as opposed to like having it be equally split in terms of desire. I think that those like two levels of like romantic versus like physical are also a sliding scale when it comes to bisexuality from what I have witnessed, not from...
I also think in my experience, a lot of, for me, what's interesting about that is what habits, practices, and ways of interacting with people I know how to do and have clearer examples for of how to... of what's the courting process like for flirting with men and like hooking up. And a lot of time on apps, what turns me off from going on dates with men is I'm far quicker to mistrust a man and be like, you have bad intentions, you want to like hook up with me, but I'm like, obviously we're like talking on app, maybe you want to hook up with me. And men can often be much more forward, like when I'm talking to men, they'll just send me a message that's like, holy shit, like I bet your dick is awesome. And like, I don't want to talk to you. And then sometimes they'll seem really cool and cute and sweet, and then that'll be its own intimidating way of going about it. And I just, it's not a process I'm familiar enough with to jump into as easily.
So you don't, do you feel like you haven't necessarily gotten like so much clarity on your sexuality in these past 7 months, but in terms of like, oh, trying to label it one way over another versus just like, oh, you're maybe more sexually experienced now in the past like 7 months?
Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah.
I think that's accurate.
At what point did you realize that, like, you know, maybe you were into more than just ladies?
I kissed your ex-boyfriend's cousin once, and that was one of the first men I kissed.
Which cousin? <I'm>
like... That wasn't my moment of divine realization.
That was the first boy you kissed?
But he was the first boy I ever kissed.
And that was at school?
That was at school.
Like in your like freshman year or something, or like later on?
I think it was my either end of sophomore year, beginning of junior year.
Okay, so it was like in the middle of school.
Yeah, on the dance floor.
Interesting.
On the dance floor, I had a diffmo.
You had a diffmo with my ex-boyfriend's cousin. Wow, I didn't know that. That's so interesting. Yeah. Was that something that like you were curious about, or it just like happened and you were like, oh.
I was curious about it. I was curious about it because, I mean, I went to Oberlin and it's the gayest place on Mother Earth.
I was about to say, like,
which honestly, in a lot of ways, made it way harder to try and start exploring that, because it was something I thought of before in high school. It had been present in my mind.
Yeah.
But then I get there and everybody is so cool and gay that if I was like, I'm not cool and maybe gay, then no chance I'll be eaten by the worm, by the snakes.
The snakes. By the gay snakes.
By all the gay snakes living around.
It's definitely a tough environment in a different way that people would imagine, because it's like, I think at schools like Oberlin and Wesleyan and maybe even like NYU and stuff, there are people who come in so sure about their sexuality. Mm-hmm. And that's like, it's just like a given.
Yeah.
Like, oh, everyone, like, I feel like everyone at Oberlin was like queer for the most part.
Yeah.
Like even my friends who went to Oberlin.
Straightest friend at Oberlin is now dating, is a woman and is now in a long-term relationship with a woman. So genuinely, she was like by far my straightest friend and is now.
It's interesting to be surrounded like by a community like that, where a lot of people are very open about their sexuality, that in a way you have to kind of like also be questioning it all the time. Like, I feel like my college experience was, people were very, like, I'm trying to think, there were definitely queer people, like, in Like, I was in a sorority. Like, we had queer people in our sorority, but, like, nobody was like, ew, gross, you know? But it wasn't, like, an experience being in, like, one of these small liberal arts schools where everybody's, like, kind of hyper-focused on that.
I've had a close friend who was in a queer relationship for a while, and then she left the relationship and then started dating a man and was socially, like, bombed for, like, being called, like, not gay anymore and lost, like, social standing and, like, was excommunicated from a group of friends for that. And it was so interesting the way
that was, like, at Oberlin?
Mm-hmm.
I
don't think that's the universal story of a course. Place like Oberlin, but that did happen, and I think that can happen, and is sad.
Yeah, that is sad. I have feelings about both just, like, liberal arts school kind of, like, mindset versus also we had very, like, toxic shit in my college experience as well that was very, like, you know, fratty and straight and, like, a lot of behavior that men did, like, slid very easily. So I don't think one is better than the other, but they're both, like, I think that's the key. Like, one is not better than the other. Mm-hmm. Like, you might think that, like, being at a school that is so open-minded, quote unquote, it's, like, so open-minded all the way to the other side that it's, like, closed-minded in a way.
It's also a period of time where you're switching brain mindsets from K through 12 to adulthood by being in college and feeling and learning and engaging with more interesting ideas and, like, the real world in a different way. And I think a lot of people unknowingly retained a lot of those schoolyard instincts that I think come out a lot of the time.
Yeah. You explored your sexuality a bit in college.
Wouldn't say I did, honestly.
Oh, you didn't. Okay.
I don't think I did, no.
What do you feel like you have then at all? Or
I've had a choice number of experiences that have been moments of exploring that. And then a lot of time thinking.
And what have you been thinking about?
It really has broken down into, like, conversations with myself that are far too convoluted to fully rehash. But trying to think about, like, what I'm attracted to in people in general and what I like and what I think I'm drawn to and what kind of connections I like. And then when do I feel myself hesitant to let myself be attracted to people and what is that about? And then I've thought about different relationships in my life and I've looked back at friendships I've had growing up that have been, like, so sexually charged and obviously sexually charged and been like, yeah, duh, I was attracted to this person and they were, like, my best friend. And I don't know. So I've just reflected on a lot of relationships and also the way I approach meeting people and the way I think about all of that.
I'm like, we need to give this, like, past 7 months, like, a name, like, this, like,
my year of rest and relaxation.
Your year of rest and relaxation, like, well, I guess part of me is, like, 7 months ago, I see this with me as well, like, just seeing where I'm at, like, versus where my friends are at and, like, and how that, like, dictates, like, over time, you know, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, like, 2 years ago when I was single, like, all of my friends were single. Mm-hmm. Now, 2 years later, a lot of them are in relationships and I was too for a while and now I'm not. And so it's, like, interesting to be this age and be single and, like, see where other people are in life. Like, do you feel like you do that at all with you and your friends? Obviously, your best friend was, like, in a relationship with me for some amount of time. And that
pop off. Like, absolutely go off.
But then also one of your other close friends is in – and, like, your roommate's in a relationship. And one that's different from, like, what – me and my ex had, like, they had a different relationship structure. So, like, do you think you were ever influenced by, like, any of that happening around you?
I honestly don't think so. I think, I mean, obviously there's sometimes it was annoying to be the only single friend. And I think it totally goes through seasons. Like, a lot of my close friends now aren't really in relationships and when they were before. I don't think I ever felt I need the need to compare myself. I do when I see friends from high school getting married. I think about that. And then I think about the fact that, you know, my parents had children. My mom was having her second child at my age. You
oh,
know,
my God.
It was fucked up.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
And she thinks it's fucked up, too, which lets me relax a little bit. I also told my mom I was coming on this podcast before, and I really don't want her to find
it. Why did you tell her then?
Because I thought it was fun. I knew she would find it fun that this was happening.
Your mom's a chiller though, right?
Like, my mom is a chiller.
Yeah. So your year of rest and relaxation, what else have you experienced sexually? And also, do you – we touched very tinily on this, but, like, do you consider yourself maybe in a different relationship structure, like ethically non-monogamous or poly? Like, do you think that's something that you align to or are interested in, or have you learned the opposite?
It's a complicated question. Unfortunately, you're hitting me with a question I have to think about.
Because none of the ones before you had to.
Not even a hair of a thought. Structure-wise, in terms of monogamy, ENM, polyamory, all of the above, I have thought about that a good amount. And I think I would need to be in a relationship and feel it out to understand what works. Because I know people who have been very jealous and controlling and felt the need and could never imagine themselves in a relationship like that, who are now in long-term loving relationships that are open in different ways that work for them. And they don't feel any jealousy because of the person they're with and because of who they are now. So I think I would really need to feel out what the relationship is.
Yeah.
To make a real declaration about that.
You're open to it, though.
I'm open to it.
Yeah.
I feel like there's very little I'm not open to on principle, unless it's, like, fucked up.
Well, what have you – okay, then what have you, like, experienced during your year of rest and relaxation?
I don't know if there's anything that's crazy, wild, open experience. I haven't, like, been a part of a marriage, you know? I haven't been in an open – but I've spoken to people who have been, like, married, and I've almost been a consistent third for people.
Like a throuple.
Yeah, like throuple energy. I don't think I could find myself in a throuple. I don't think I could go from not having had really that much of a serious relationship in my life to entering a throuple.
The first one is a throuple.
Although that'd be kind of iconic of me, let's be honest.
Like, so have you had a threesome?
No.
Okay, so that hasn't happened this year.
That hasn't happened. Just because I'm open to things doesn't mean they come my way.
Okay. Like, what has come your way?
Mostly just, I mean, none of my experiences have been that radical, I don't think. Mm-hmm. Unless I'm forgetting things that someone would slap me across the face and say, what are you talking about? This has happened. Mm-hmm. It's mostly been meeting a lot of very interesting people and connecting with people and feeling what that's like. Like, I hooked up with this person who started the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Oh my God. Like, how old were they?
They were in their 40s.
Oh, okay.
Which was kind of crazy.
It's like, how'd you meet? Field?
That was someone I met out dancing.
Oh, okay.
She approached me and was like, I've been watching your hips move all night. I honestly, for a moment, wasn't realize that this person was flirting with me. And then I figured it out quick enough. But
did you, like, ever see each other again? Or was it, like, a one-night stand?
That person was visiting New York.
Okay.
I guess I've learned more from the
relationship. They came up with Occupied Wall Street and they don't live in New York?
Yeah, right?
Wow.
I think because in New York, they were telling me about how they were like, hey, do you think it's okay if I stay the night? Like, there is a chance that, like, operatives might try and come and, like, wake me up in the night.
Shut up. Really? Yeah,
genuinely. I was like, I think it's okay. Like, I'm not going to, like, send you, like, to your hotel in the Upper West Side from Brooklyn right now.
Did you look her up after? Mm-hmm. She was legit. She wasn't lying.
It was her.
Oh my God. That's iconic.
It's kind of iconic.
You've also, haven't you, like, hooked up with some, like, TikTokers or something?
No, in high school, I went to prom with the person who founded the Good Eats Instagram page, though. She had, like, a million followers. I don't know if that's relevant.
I thought you, like, had hooked up with some, like, maybe some.
Is,
like,
there big... someone specific you're thinking of?
Yeah, I am. But I think they went to Oberlin, though.
Oh, wait, maybe you're right.
Why do I know this and you don't?
Because I've been on, like, 100 dates.
Yeah, literally. Do you feel like you are ready for a relationship now? Like, what are you looking for? Because we're on this podcast. Let's say someone is interested in meeting you. Like,
I don't know if that would happen. I feel like I haven't presented myself in the most lovable way.
You're a lovable person. I appreciate feel like that. Yeah, like I think you've just been honest about
I'm trying to be honest.
Yeah. And I think people appreciate honesty. So, you know, somebody might be interested. If you could like put out a bat signal for like somebody who might be ideal to you, like what does that look like?
Somebody who's funny. Whoa, this is a crazy question you're asking me. Another absolute zinger.
It's my job. Yeah.
Well, to answer actually the first question about where I feel I'm at in terms of what I want to be in a relationship, mm-hmm. what I want, I think me exiting my year of rest and relaxation into a year of fervor and frenzy where I want to maybe rest and relax a little more.
The opposite.
The opposite. I think I want to take a moment to look back a little more on what I've been feeling, because there have been relationships I've had during this time where I've been like, well, why don't I want this to be a more significant long-term relationship? Mm. Like, is it because I don't want that? And I think there are times where I go back and forth a little bit, but maybe that also has to do with the person. Mm-hmm. And I don't know still to what extent how long I have to be seeing someone for me to know whether or not I want to be in a more committed relationship with these people, with someone.
That's it's an interesting question to pose, because I think I see patterns with people in relationships like that. Like there are certain benchmarks that people have in their mind that's like these are times that you reevaluate. I think 2 months, 2 to 3 months of consistently seeing someone is like when the conversation of maybe like, are we still interested in seeing other people? Are we not? Like, I think that conversation starts to surface around like seeing somebody consistently for like, you know, it also matters how many dates you're going on in that amount of time. But like,
that's what I was going to ask. What is consistently? Is consistently once a week?
I kind of feel like at the beginning, consistently is definitely once a week. Like, that's like pretty consistent. And that might be coming from me. Like, I have a very busy schedule. So, if I'm carving out time to see you once a week, like that to me feels like a lot of effort on my part to like see you consistently. Yeah, so I think it's maybe relative, but yeah, I definitely think once a week is a good like benchmark.
Are you saying you're not going on 5 dates a week? What is this?
I can confidently say I have never in my life been on, well, no, I've never been on like a date every single day of a week. Mm-hmm. I feel like I had my year of rest and relaxation when I was like 24. I was like living in Miami and Barcelona, and it was like the first time I had ever lived one outside of the country, like on my or just outside of the city on my own as an adult. So I feel like that was like my year of rest and relaxation. And that was like when I had like, you know, you download Field, you like explore different things, like you have different experiences, you meet a lot of people.
Yeah.
But like everything you're describing, I feel like it's good for people to have that. I feel like I had a moment in my life that was like that. I feel like most people should have a moment in their life where they are exploring like what they like, what they don't like, what kinds of relationships work for them. I think monogamy is often pushed down our throats. Like maybe not for you being at Oberlin, it was probably more just like open-minded, but I think certain relationship structures and also like being a woman, you worry about certain things at certain times of your life. Like now that I'm going on 27, I'm starting to think more about like, okay, what's my timeline if I like want to have kids? You know, like that's something I have to actually start thinking about. So I think that year of rest and relaxation is so important to like understand kind of things that you want. When I came out of it, I entered a relationship. So my question back to you is like, do you feel like you're ready to do that?
I think if I met somebody who I was
like the right person.
Yeah, that's what it is ultimately. And that's kind of...
And all of these dates you've been on, you don't feel like you have.
Yeah. And part of I feel a lot of doubt about myself. And that's part of the reflection I'm doing of like, well, why not? Why don't I feel this person could be someone like that? And sometimes I'm on a date with someone who's very similar to me, or sometimes I'm on a date with someone who's very different from me. I don't know. There's so many people who I think are awesome and deserving of love and great that I love spending time with, but I haven't felt that kind of excitement where I want them to be a key part of my life, I guess.
Yeah. Do you feel like you put too much pressure on like that feeling of like excitement that you're not moving forward in certain relationships?
Probably to some degree, because there have been times, especially earlier on, where I've been very excited to meet someone. You know, meeting people can be very new and exciting and feel fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And then that goes away. And then sometimes then what is the thing that you want to have consistently from this other person? And you were describing it as like partnership and being present and showing up and being more integrated in your lives in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I reach a point where that's what I'm thinking about. And then maybe the excitement obviously isn't enough to hold up to that.
Mm.
So maybe I do end up measuring against the same thing. It just, I have to break quickly through this shell of being excited about something.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's definitely a weird feeling where you start to assess like, oh, can this be something more serious and like why and how?
It's also so weird that there's so much that someone can say about any of this. Like we're just people.
My experience is so different from like what your experience might be.
Totally.
And like our wants and needs might be so different. So totally. That's why like I don't consider that this is not an advice podcast. Like,
yeah.
It's just not. Like we're just talking about our personal experiences. So I end every episode with a segment called Shots, the rapid fire questions. Are you ready to do some shots?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Early bird or night owl?
See, I can't answer questions like that quickly. I like both.
You have to.
I like both. I stay up late and I love when no one's awake and it's 6 a.m.
Work hard or play hard?
Why do I have to choose? This is ridiculous. This is not fair. Why can't I do both?
Dine out or delivery?
None of these are questions that I feel like I can answer one way or the other. This is not fair. I like love going out for dinner, but why? I also love like having sushi at home. This is not fair.
The whole point is that you have to choose one.
This is bullshit. I'm calling bullshit.
Laundry or dishes?
Laundry.
Oh my God, I'm getting somewhere. TikTok or Instagram?
Instagram, I think.
Money or fame?
Money.
Coca-Cola or Pepsi?
I don't drink soda, really. Coca-Cola, though, because Coca-Cola.
Spicy or mild?
Spicy.
Coffee date or drinks date?
You're asking questions I don't feel like I can say one or the other. It's not fair. But I guess I'll go drinks because I think that's kind of like romantic and spicy.
What's your favorite season?
Used to be summer, but now it's the shoulder seasons, fall and spring.
What's your favorite song right now?
I think I would say Bless Me by Moses Sumney.
What is your drink of choice?
Moscow Mule.
And if you had a boat, what would you name it?
Paul Boston.
Okay, well, that's everything.
Woo!
Thank you for being on.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Of course. And if you're interested in matching with our guest, you can either go to our Flow page, flow.page/drinksfirst, and there's a form there. It'll also be in the description of the episode. Or you can go to our Instagram, @drinks.first on Instagram, and go to our link in bio there, where you can see all of our events, apply to be on the podcast, and match with this guest.
Tell me an embarrassing story if like you submit something to say to me. Just like tell you something embarrassing.
Okay, that's what he's looking for.
I'm looking for someone embarrassing.
And I'm your host, Ariana Nathani. You can find me on TikTok and Instagram @ariana.nathani. Thank you so much.